And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to join you today. It's another great day to be a real estate investor, especially right now, friends. I believe the legislation in Washington, D.C., just may have helped us out a little bit, maybe a little plus on our side. It's finally, right? It's nice to see something come across that's favorable from Washington, D.C. And we do talk about tax advantages as one of the primary reasons we invest in real estate. The tax advantages to the real estate investor are just absolutely tremendous. It's a big, big part of what we do. In fact, I didn't realize just how great the tax advantages really were. I didn't understand them. I'm not a tax guy. I still use a tax pro, and I advise you always consult a tax professional that is real estate savvy. But I didn't understand the full implications until I really got into it for a few years. But I think the recent legislation just made investing better. And depending on what side of the fence you're on, you may not see it that way. Some people call it the big, beautiful bill, and other folks call it something else. I can't say on the air. I don't care either way. I remain politically neutral. I have a massive distrust for all politicians, okay? Bottom line, I look at things and I say, what's in it for me? Does this help my family? What are the long-term implications? And then I decide whether it's positive or negative, but bottom line here, whether your life is good or bad, whether you're rich or poor, your current condition has nothing to do with politicians in Washington, D.C., okay? Life is up to you, what you're going to make out of it and how that's going to progress for you. It's a series of good decisions compounded over time. At Lifestyles Unlimited, as a networking group, as a all-in group, we're sharing best practices, and yeah, we follow the laws as written. We're not trying to skirt any laws. Good Lord. And these laws are written by, yes, politicians, and a lot of them really aren't business people in any way, shape, or form, but somehow they're the ones writing the laws. But we share knowledge, and because of that, we can quickly figure out what strategies work for us. We can figure out the best way to implement the rules in our favor, because often they're not in our favor. I'll just give you a quick example that comes to mind. I'm still mad over it. Let's go back to COVID. What happened during COVID? Well, the politicians came up with the genius idea that you cannot evict people for non-payment of rent. And it's a cold, cruel world out there. I get it. But they put up restrictions and roadblocks. Judges pushed the rulings to the extreme. Now, this was geographical, depending on where you live. Some areas were much better than others. But judges ruled against property owners. They added delays. And they hurt some real estate owners financially, right? They didn't care because, again, these people don't understand. Some people needed some assistance, and a lot of us provided that assistance, okay? Best property, best price, run by the best people. And we helped some people. We came up with some creative plans. We didn't just throw somebody out. But imagine this. Some people out there chose not to pay rent, even though they still had jobs, even though they had the ability to easily continue paying rent. People took advantage of the system, all right? And I can think of a few very clear examples on some properties we own. And I remember reading story after story about mom and pop rental property owners going bankrupt because the rent wasn't getting paid, and therefore they didn't have the money to pay the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, the interest, right? None of those were forgiven by Congress. They just said, you don't have to pay rent, or you can't throw people out if they don't pay their rent, or if they're late on their rent, or what have you. But they gave no concessions to the people that owned the businesses, right? When the resident doesn't pay the rent, the bills that go with that property don't get paid, and some people got hurt. Now, that's a bad side. I'll give you a good example. Ronald Reagan, when he was president, he had some changes made on how real estate is viewed in the tax code. And we're going to talk about tax code with real estate today specifically, but this was in the 80s. I'll tell you, this change was so significant, it enabled people to get into real estate for 50 cents on the dollar. That's how Del Walmsley, our founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, got started. But my point is this, and I said a lot to say this, don't let Washington, D.C. decide if you're going to be successful or unsuccessful. That's up to you. However, occasional changes to the law are made, and whether it's a local government, a state government, national government, and those laws can affect real estate investing. And one of those bills recently just passed, and it's the OBBBA, three B's in there, One Big Beautiful Bill Act. That's the official name. But there's some key parts of it that are to the favor of the real estate investor. Now, if this bill hadn't passed, it would not change the fact that I will continue to be a real estate investor. It's just the greatest asset class on the planet. It's the greatest wealth-building vehicle. Okay, I want to get that out front. The other thing I want to say is, yeah, I've identified five key ways it could benefit a real estate investor, and we'll go into those. But also, I'm a firm believer of less tax overall to everybody. And we are a consumer society here in the United States. Less tax to everybody means everyone has a little more money to spend. You can save it, you can spend it, whatever. It's your money. But the more money that people have, typically they'll spend more. And the more that someone spends, the better our economy does. The better our economy does, the better everybody does. Wages go up. Jobs become more attractive, right? They're having to pay a little more to keep people, especially if the fact that the jobless numbers continue to trend down, supply and demand, it means that businesses and corporations have to compete for that worker, spend a little more. It just gets better for everybody, right? A rising tide lifts all boats. So I think overall, anything that gives us money back is great. Now, it gives money back specifically to real estate investors in certain aspects. And let's go into those. And I know tax on the air is really dry. I'm no tax guy, consult a professional. I've got one of the best tax teams in the country on my side, and I lean on those guys. But let me give you the 40,000 foot flyover on these five key parts. The first one is the permanent qualified business income, also known as QBI, deduction. Okay. So what this bill does, and let me describe it. It's going to take 20% QBI deduction. It's going to make that permanent. What is that? Okay. This is basically, it's going to help real estate investors deduct up to 20% of net rental income. Bottom line, it's going to reduce taxable income, and it's going to boost your after tax yields. Okay. And it's permanent. This allows for long-term planning. It improves cash flow projections, and it's all about cash flow. Let me give you an example. Okay. That sounded, you're like, Mike, that what does that mean? Let me give you an example. Let's take John and Maria. They live in Texas and they have three duplexes. They actively manage their rental properties. Okay. They screen the tenants. They collect the rent. They make sure the repairs are done, everything. Now let's take their net rental income after expenses. Okay. Expenses like mortgage interest, taxes, repairs, insurance, depreciation, everything. They pay all that, and their net income is $30,000 per year, their rental income. Okay. How does this help? Well, the bottom line is it allows John and Maria to take 20% of their qualified rental income from taxable to remove that. Okay. So 20% of $30,000 is $6,000. So they can claim what's called the $6,000 QBI deduction, qualified business income deduction. So instead of paying tax on the $30,000 of rental income, they're only paying it on $24,000, okay? And let's say their marginal rate, they have other jobs, okay, is 22%, right? I'm just picking something in the middle. Bottom line, it's going to save them $1,300 a year in taxes. Again, more people have more money to spend or to save or to put it towards something. This is a good thing. This deduction is easy to claim. Just keep good records. And think about this, okay? A lot of you out there are like, oh, Mike, it's $1,300. Well, $1,300 here, and we got money there, and we got money there, and we got money there. We have all these buckets as real estate investors that here's this advantage, here's that advantage, here's that advantage, and you stack them, and they really get significant. But let's take time and add that. Over 10 years, that's $13,000, okay? That's nothing to sneeze at, and it's now permanent. Let's say they have three duplexes today. Let's say in 2 years they have six duplexes. Let's say they get to where they own 20 or 30 units of rental property. This deduction is huge. Okay. It's 20% of the income. It's not capped. If it was 200,000 in income, they'd be able to claim 20% of that. That's $40,000 they wouldn't be paying taxes on. Okay. So, that QBI, real bonus for real estate investors. Next, the next thing in this bill, it's 100% bonus depreciation for real property, okay? Let's go through this. A lot of folks struggle understanding depreciation. This restores 100% bonus depreciation, but in typical politicians, they're like, well, this is only through 2030. They put a cap or they put a time when it's going to start or a time when it's going to phase out or a time when it's going to stop and just either do it or don't do it. But anyway, that's me. But it's for qualified property, right? Short-term rental property, long-term rental property, cost segregation items. It is letting investors write off the full value of the eligible components, okay? Now, before this became was put back into law, the bonus depreciation, it's originally part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the TCJA in 2017. They put it in there, but then they had a phase out as well. So that phase out was 40% in 2025, 20% in 2026, zero in 2027. It starts back up. You can claim it now through 2030. It's 100% bonus depreciation. All right. So let me give you an example. Let's say Lisa's a passive investor in a multifamily property. She invests $50,000 as a passive or a limited partner in a real estate syndication. In the deal, let's call it a 200-unit apartment for $12 million. The general partner, the lead investor, he's going to cost segregate the property. Okay, I'm just speaking in generalities how this works. But because of the 100% bonus depreciation, he can claim appliances, flooring, fixtures, and certain improvements and fully depreciate that in year one, 100%, if he chooses. We'll dig into the numbers on the other side.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison, talking about some of these tax advantages that recently passed in the OBBBA on July 4th. Some of these can be used by real estate investors, and they're nice, okay? It's rare that we see something like that come out of Washington, D.C. And I'm trying to provide some real-world examples so it's relevant. But the 100% bonus depreciation, again, let's take an example. Let's say Lisa, right? She has a $50,000 investment as a passive investor. I do a lot of passive investing myself. A lot of us at Lifestyles Unlimited have numerous. We're partners in numerous apartment communities all over the country. And let's say this lead investor, as we call it, you may know that person as a syndicator or general partner. Let's say this person chooses, and you have to choose it, okay? There's some accounting to it. I don't want to go into all the nuts and bolts. Chooses to utilize that 100% bonus depreciation, all right? He can fully depreciate certain components of this property, flooring, appliances, fixtures, certain land improvements. Again, this is a $12 million purchase of the property. It was a 12,200 unit property, right? And I'm just pulling this out of thin air. Well, they could use 30% of the purchase price as being eligible for bonus depreciation, right? 30%. 30% of 12 million is $3.6 million, all right? They could use $3.6 million as depreciation in year one, okay? Year one. Now, the way we do it, did we pay cash for this apartment? No, we financed it. We used equity. So our raise to purchase this property was $4 million. Lisa invested 50% of the $4 million. She's in it for 1.25% of the deal. You follow me? If you're a member of Lifestyles Unlimited and a passive investor, I know you do. If you're a first-time listener or new to real estate, shoot me an email. I'm happy to explain. But basically, Lisa's portion of this is 1.25%. That's what I want you to remember. 100% bonus depreciation. What is 1.25% of $3.6 million? Well, that's $45,000. Lisa invested $50,000, but she is depreciating $45,000. It's a paper loss. Do you follow me? I'm in for $50,000. However, the form I'm going to provide to the IRS is basically going to say, I lost $45,000. The property value was depreciated by $45,000. Now, Lisa may still have made $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in cash flow from that investment in her first year, but she has a $45,000 phantom K-1 paper loss, and she could use now. She made $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. What happens to the rest of that depreciation? She can use it toward other investments. Okay, she can offset passive income from other rental property that she owns, or she could potentially even offset active income, but she needs to qualify as a real estate professional, and we're getting in the weeds. There's a lot there, but she could potentially offset active income with that passive loss. So bottom line, Lisa didn't lose real money. It's a paper loss, but it allows her to defer taxes, and it's going to supercharge her tax return, okay? Without the bonus depreciation, she'd have to claim that over 27 and a half years. Now she can take it, bam, all in year one. What's the negative to this, okay? A lot of you are out there, wow, cash flow is going to be great. Here's the negative. If they sell that property early, right, quickly, they're going to have to recapture and pay back some of the write-off they took. It's not a big deal. It's just something to understand, okay? Now, the third thing in this piece of legislation that can help real estate investors, it's called the Enhanced Business Interest Deduction for Real Estate. Enhanced Business Interest Deduction for Real Estate. So the existing exemption for real estate business interest remains intact, all right? So they basically locked it in. But it enables leveraged investors, which is what we are, right? We put a mortgage on every property. It's what we teach, okay? If you don't understand why, keep listening to the show. Come engage with us. Come to a case study. Come to a free workshop. But yes, we put leverage on every piece of real estate we buy. It increases our returns, okay? I know this is counterintuitive to a lot of you, but we're deducting the mortgage interest fully, okay? It doesn't matter what the financing costs are. We're deducting that mortgage interest fully, and it's crucial. Rates are higher today than they have been for several years, and it helps us maintain affordability and effective leverage. Let me give you an example, all right? I always want to give you an example to try to clear this up. Let's take Mark. Mark owns 10 single-family rental properties. All right. Each of these has a mortgage. Mark is active in his business. Okay. This is important. And he's managing the properties himself. He's a hands-on property owner, a hands-on landlord. I hate that term landlord, but that's what he is. His total annual rental income on these 10 properties is $200,000. Okay, I'm just pulling a number out. His mortgage interest on all 10 properties is $70,000 a year. Okay, so $200,000. Now we got to start deducting some of these things that we're paying for. He has other expenses. He has repairs. He has insurance. He has taxes. Let's make that $60,000 a year. Okay, so his net rental income before interest is $200,000 minus $60,000 is $140,000. All right, you with me? We took the $60,000 off the top. Those are some things, but he's got mortgage interest of $70,000. Now, in the past, the interest deductions were limited. Okay, there's a formula in there that has to deal with taxable income. Now, real estate businesses were allowed to opt out of that limit. All right. What the One Big Beautiful Bill Act did was basically preserve this carve out permanently. Okay. So Mark can now deduct the full $70,000 in mortgage interest, and he has no limit, no limit at all. He owns real property. He's involved in his property, and he has to use what they call ADS depreciation where required. Again, we use tax pros, but the bottom line is, thanks to the real estate exemption, he's deducting 100% of that $70,000 in interest. That's reducing his taxable rental income. And that's what we want to do. We want to reduce the amount of money that the IRS can tax us on. So back to Mark, he was at $140,000, right? We paid the... He made $200,000. He had $60,000 in repairs and expenses, and then he had $70,000 in mortgage interest. He would have had to pay on that whole thing, but he's deducting that mortgage interest, so he's leveraged. He basically took $70,000 away from his taxable income to the IRS. There's no penalty. It increases people's use of what we call smart debt, of investment debt. It's shielding more of Mark's income from taxes. And what does that do? That increases cash flow. That increases return on investment. That's what it's about. If we put money into this property, what is our ROI, return on investment? And when you have these additional write-offs, and again, this bill just made that carve-out permanent, okay? We were taking advantage of this before. I don't think there was any danger of it going away. What they did was they just said, you know what? Keep doing it, and we'll lock it in permanently. So that's what the bill does. But the bottom line is it's going to encourage property expansion, right? Using financing, it's going to encourage more, and it's going to minimize tax friction. So that's a good thing. Again, we can't write all that off on our personal home, but we can on our business, and our business is rental property. Have I mentioned how great the tax advantages are? And I've only covered three out of the five that I've identified. Really, six is there's more money in people's pocket and we're going to spend more money. Let's go into the fourth advantage that I outlined, and it's a higher SALT deduction cap, okay? Supports high tax markets, right? You have low tax markets, you have high tax markets. Let's take a high tax market. SALT stands for state and local taxes, okay? There was a cap prior to that of $10,000. And so what it said was, if you have state and local taxes greater than $10,000, which isn't hard to do in some of these places, we're going to increase that cap to 40. Okay. So you basically have the deduction up to 40 grand in these other taxes, man. Some, you know, tax is bad, but some places really have prohibitive taxes and they're charging a lot. But that cap goes up to 40,000. Right now, it phases out with higher incomes. Okay, so if you're making good money, this isn't going to apply to you. And again, this is one of those that's only through 2030. Boom. So they get to rehash it in 5 years. Right, another argument down the road. But basically, it means that rental investors owning property in high tax states can deduct more of their real estate taxes. All right, what is it doing? It's reducing taxable income, softening the impact of ownership costs. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to Mark, who owned the 10 properties, right, that we just did in the last segment. Let's say he owns 10 rental homes, and let's go to the high tax state. Let's go to New York. Let's go to California. Let's go to New Jersey. And each one of these has $6,000 in annual taxes. Total property taxes, he has 10 properties, is $60,000. Mark files with his spouse, okay? There is an AGI on it, and their adjusted gross income is $300,000. He's going to itemize these deductions on his tax return. So basically, he can take, pre-beautiful Bill, the cap was $10,000. His deduction was only $10,000. Post the bill, his cap is $40,000 for joint filers. He can now deduct $40,000 of his $60,000. How's it help him? Here, he's now deducting $30,000 more in property taxes than he could have, okay? Let's say he's in a 32% tax bracket. That 30 in deduction saves him 32% of that. It's saving him another $9,600 in tax. That's a good thing. Okay. It's a big win for investors in high tax states. It doesn't always make sense to invest out there. There's a lot of other factors, but we do have people that own properties in these states. And so it helps them. It's going to encourage continued ownership or expansion into some of these states. This may make the difference for some folks. This may create that cash flow that they need. Now, the next thing I've identified in this bill is called Expanded Low-Income Housing Tax Credits and Opportunity Zones. Okay, Opportunity Zones. Many of us are familiar with those. So there's a low-income housing tax credit. It expanded that, and it permanently extended the opportunity zone incentives, okay? What does that do? It's going to encourage development, and it's going to encourage rehab of properties. What do? As real estate investors, we typically rehab properties, right? We take the old home that's just distressed, hadn't had any love, and we fix it up. We make it great, best product, best price. We fix everything, and then we rent that property out. So now if you're in one of these opportunity zones, there's some advantages for you. Let me give you an example. All right, let's take Sarah again, and she's a real estate investor, and she's looking to build a 40-unit apartment community, and she's going to do this in one of these designated opportunity zones, okay? She wants to do it there. Now, we don't always do new construction here as investors. We're typically buying the older distressed property. Sometimes it makes sense, okay? I've seen a multifamily property that was new construction that made sense. I've seen several new builds that the numbers fit. I think Andy Webb has purchased a couple of new builds. I've seen some in the south side of Fort Worth. This builder was building them, and I think our investors were picking these properties up for brand new, mind you. I want to say 120, 140, somewhere in there. And able to rent it out in cash flow. But let's take this person. She's a real estate investor. She wants to build in an opportunity zone. She can layer two federal incentives. She can layer that low income housing tax credit, and she can use the opportunity zone. And basically, it's a capital gains deferral and possibly an exclusion. That low income housing tax credit, her property would qualify if she keeps 40% of the units. Okay, it's a 40 units. She needs to keep 40% of those reserved for tenants earning 60% or less of the area median income. All right, depends on where this zone is. You can find these zones outside of cities, metroplexes that are growing like mad. There's some around Fort Worth, and Fort Worth is booming. You can invest there, and it makes good sense to invest there. Let's say Sarah has $500,000 in capital gains from the sale of a previous property, right? This happens often. She can use that $500,000 and fund this property and defer paying capital gains tax on the $500,000 until 2030. Okay, she can defer it. Now, if she holds this property for 10 plus years, any additional gain on the new project is 100% tax-free. So she's basically extending her timeline on it, right? She'd say she has this tax bill and the government's saying, hey, you don't have to pay that for at least 5 years, right, till 2030 if you invest in this opportunity zone. And by the way, if you keep the property for 10 or more years, any additional gain on is 100% tax-free. Now, also, and this isn't in the bill, it's always been around, she could 1031 that property in the future into something else and defer a different way. So there's opportunities for deferral. So basically, that $500,000 capital gains deferred, future gains are potentially 100% free. She's reducing risk. She's improving return of investment, ROI. We talk about that. And she's building affordable housing in areas. She's revitalizing areas that need revitalization. So these benefits, permanent QBI deduction, that's lowering taxable rental income permanently. The second one, 100% bonus depreciation. What is that doing? It's enabling immediate expensing, faster return on investment. The interest deduction is preserved. That's keeping leverage effective amid these higher interest rates. The higher SALT cap, what is that doing? That's providing better deductions on property taxes. And the low-income housing tax credit and opportunity zones, that's increasing support for what? What we need more in this country. Affordable rental properties, right? Clean, functional places to live. Everybody deserves a clean, functional place to live. And the government actually did something that makes it favorable for people to do what we do. And that's provide properties to good people, right? Everyone needs a home. They need a place to lay their head. They have three choices. They can purchase, they can rent, or they can be homeless or live with their parents. So if the advantages are more to a real estate investor, you're going to see something that we need. You're going to see more properties come available, more rental units. If you're giving me money back to invest in real estate, or more money back to invest in real estate, what am I going to do? I'm going to invest more money in real estate. So the tax environment favors strategic rental real estate investing. It's delivering lower taxes, accelerated deductions, enhanced incentives. And like I say, always consult a tax professional. I know these tax shows are hard, but the bottom line, it's good news. It's good news for us as investors, and it's going to encourage more people to get in the market, and it may help us on some other properties we own. Always remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.